Blog Talk Radio.
I said, see, rider, oh, see what you have done. I said, see, rider, oh, see what you have done. Oh, girl, you made me. Well, I'm going away, baby, and I won't be back till fall. And I'm going away, baby, and I won't be back till fall. Well, if I find me a good girl, I wanna be back at home. Hear what I say? I said, see, right. Oh, see what you have done. See, rider, oh, see what you have done. Well, girl, you made me love you. No, let me have a play again. You have done. I said, see, rider. Oh, see what you have done. My girl, you made me love you. No, you love me, man. Don't hear what I said. I said, see, rider. I said, see, rider. I said, see, rider. I said, see, right. I said, see, right. I said, see.
We are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has the highest inflation in over 40 years, where the stock market just finished the worst first half of a year in more than five decades. We are a nation that has the highest energy cost in its history, and we are no longer energy independent or energy dominant, which we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela and Saudi Arabia for oil. We are a nation that surrendered in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the finest military equipment in the world. We are a nation that allowed Russia to devastate a country, Ukraine, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and it will only get worse. We are a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. We are a nation that is allowing Iran to build a massive nuclear weapon, and China to use the trillions and trillions of dollars it's taken from the United States to build a military to rival our own. We are a nation that over the past 2 years is no longer respected or listened to all around the world. And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hard-working patriots like you who built this country, and it is hard-working patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot meet. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Greatness. Greatness. Not dead air, I'm just thinking about that. We were very much on the verge of greatness. We were really close to gaining once again our position of preeminence among the free nations of the world. And things were good, man. Things were good. But there were a lot of people who didn't like how things were shaken out. They just didn't. And if we take a look, and we've talked about this stuff on this show a lot. And by the way, it's good to be here with you. I'm James Bostic with the Conservative Perspective. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays here on Patriot Nation Radio. We have a recorded version of the show that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network. And it's good to be here with you. Now let's get after it. If we take a look at the events of the last 6 years, and we use these events as a baseline. If you can't recognize the events in the last 75 days, and you don't see these things as coordinated, the FBI raid on August 8th, Joe Biden conveniently on vacation, Ron DeSantis presented as a palatable illusion of choice. We'll get into that in a minute. I know a lot of people are probably going to sit up straight and clutch at their pearls when I talk about Ron DeSantis that way, but bear with me. If you don't see these things as coordinated, if you don't see these things as planned out, then you haven't been paying attention, or you are living in a state of denial. What happened? What was the great offense . What moved these people into taking these authoritarian, these draconian, these tyrannical actions? Well, that's an easy one. We, the people, you and I, and so many others like us, elected someone who was not approved. There is one permanent political and administrative deep state which runs the United States government. Now, it doesn't matter which color flag rests atop the congressional spire. It could be the Republican flag. It could be the Democrat. It doesn't change the behavior of the participants. I'm going to read something to you. It's a speech. It's one of Donald Trump's speech. And this was back when... Well, this is 4 years ago. It was coming up, well, let's see, 6 years ago. So it was 2016. This would have been, you know, when he entered the presidential campaign. And it works today just as well as it did then. Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There's nothing in the political establishment will not do. There's no lie they won't tell to hold on to their prestige and power at your expense. The Washington establishment, the financial media corporations that fund it, exists only for one reason: to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake in this election. As an example, just one single trade deal they'd like to pass involves trillions of dollars controlled by many countries, corporations, and lobbyists. For those in control of the levers of power in Washington, and for the global special interests that they partner with, our campaign represents an existential threat. It's not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government. The political establishment that's trying to stop us is the same group responsible for our disastrous trade deals, massive illegal immigration, and economic and foreign policies that have bled this country dry. The political establishment has brought about the destruction of our factories and our jobs as they flee to Mexico. China and other countries throughout the world are taking these programs away from us. Our just announced job numbers are anemic, and our gross domestic product is barely above 1%. Workers in the United States are making less than they were almost 20 years ago, but yet they're working harder. It's a global power structure that's responsible for these economic decisions that have robbed our working class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put that money into the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities. Just look at what this corrupt establishment's done to our cities like Detroit and Flint, Michigan, and rural towns in Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, and across our country. They've stripped these towns bare, and they've raided the wealth for themselves and taken away their jobs. The Clinton machine's at the center of this power structure. We've seen this firsthand in the WikiLeaks documents in which Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of United States sovereignty in order to enrich these global financial powers. Likewise, the email showed that the Clinton machine is so closely and irrevocably tied to media organizations, she's given the questions and answers in advance of her debates. Clinton's also given approval and veto power over quotes written about her in the New York Times. And the emails show reporters collaborate and conspire directly with the Clinton campaign on helping her win the election. The most powerful weapon controlled by the Clintons is the corporate media. Let's be clear on one thing. The corporate media in our country is no longer involved in journalism. They are a political special interest, no different than any lobbyist or other financial entity with an agenda. And their agenda is to elect the Clintons or the Obamas or the Bidens at any cost, at any price, no matter how many lives they destroy. For them, it is a war. And for them, nothing is out of bounds. It's a struggle for the survival of our nation. This election will determine whether we're a free nation or whether we have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system. It is not just conspiracy, but reality. And you and I know it. The Clintons, the Bidens are criminals. It's well documented. The establishment that protects them has engaged in a massive cover-up of widespread criminal activity at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation and through Hunter Biden on his laptop. Never in history have we seen such a cover-up. And people who are capable of such crimes against our nation are capable of anything. This election is about every man, woman, and child in our country who deserves to live in safety and prosperity and peace. We'll rise above the lies, the smears, and the ludicrous slanders from ludicrous reporters. We'll vote for the country we want. We'll vote for the future we want. We'll vote for the politics we want. We will vote to put this corrupt government cartel out of business. We'll remove from our politics the special interests who have betrayed our workers, our borders, our freedoms, and our sovereign rights as a nation. We'll end the politics of profit. We'll end the rule of special interests. We'll put a stop to the raiding of our country and the disenfranchisement of our people. Our Independence Day is at hand, and it arrives finally in November. Join me in taking back our country and creating a bright and glorious new dawn for our people. Folks, we're right back where we started. What's going to be happening? We've got the midterms shaking loose here in, what is this, August, September? Just a couple of months, less than 90 days. This is the time for us to become that informed and disseminating electorate that I've been talking about for months now. Look who's running in your local elections. Look who's running for your boards of education, your county boards of education. Chances are you know them. Look at them. Look at what they do. Pay attention to what they say about their positions on various issues. And a lot of these guys are going to be vanilla. They're going to be white bread. They're not going to say anything because they don't want to get, because if they reveal their true intentions, then you might not vote for them, right? So we've got to watch. The same thing goes for your county, your city councils, your county commissions, the people that you send to your individual state houses of legislature, and on up the chain. But it starts right where you are. I think we've all seen, especially in the last week, they're not kidding around. Okay? They are not kidding around. This whole thing, this raid was BS. This was politics. This was not law enforcement. In June, the FBI visited Mar-a-Lago. In June, they looked at the area where all these documents were being held. They were there. They saw them. They went through them. Nobody got excited. Nobody got jacked up. As a matter of fact, the only thing the FBI said was maybe you need to put a little bit better lock on the door, something a little more secure, and that's what they did. First, it was classified documents, ultra super duper secret classified documents. Then it was nuclear secrets. I don't know what they're saying now. They took his passports, they lied about it, and then returned them. It took 13 days to execute the warrant. Now, if all this stuff was so national security sensitive, if this stuff was so important, first off, why did they, excuse me. First off, the guy's been out of office for 18 months. Where's the fire? Secondly, they wait 13 days after they get the warrant. What are the documents? Nobody's talked about that. They've said this. They say classified documents. They say nuclear secrets. They use all these euphemisms, these words designed to obfuscate. Smoke screens. Now, in broad terms, wait a minute, I'm going to get a drink. How many of you guys remember two-thirds of the way into his presidency, President Trump directed that all these documents be declassified to get to the bottom of all this? And everybody went, all right, yeah, great, this is awesome. They're going to declassify them. Truth will out. The disinfecting sunlight is going to hit this stuff and we're going to find out what's going on. And nothing happened. Well, it doesn't really work that way. There is a committee of people. The president says he wants certain documents declassified and certain directors within the intelligence community have to sign off on that. And if they're not cool with it, guess what? Doesn't happen. That's why we never saw any damn thing. So when we look at this, again, what was the offense that was committed? We, the people, elected someone that the club did not approve of. That doesn't go. It doesn't happen that often. Ronald Reagan, I think, was probably the last one that they didn't, because they didn't like Reagan either. But we voted for someone that wasn't in the club, wasn't one of their guys, couldn't be bought, couldn't be corrupted. They make mention of the word espionage, Espionage Act. They've talked about that. That goes back to World War I, and I don't know that there's been anybody that's been convicted of it. They're bandying about all these things that are supposed to be. They've changed their story three different times as to the reason behind this raid. What motivated this raid was fear. And it goes back to these declassified documents. Because if there comes a time that these documents actually do see the light of day, it means their heads. It means guilt. It exposes their treason, their deceit. Yeah, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're down to the bottom of the hour, and I don't want to unpack this thing. So here's what we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more of ACP right after this brief musical interlude.
When my papa
baby. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm gonna inject your soul with sweet rock and roll. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning fox. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning fox. I'm a demolition derby, a hefty hog, steaming jaw. Play it up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective, August 16th, 1977. 45 years ago today, the king of rock and roll left not only the building, but this old world as well, and we are all the poorer because of it. I was 15 years old in 1977, and I was with my family on a vacation, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, staying at the fabulous Swamp Fox. No, and I'm not making that up. Swamp Fox Motor Inn. He was actually an American historical figure, Francis Marion. Check him out. He's really good. The guy that, what's his name, homeboy, played in The Patriot, Mel Gibson, kind of based loosely on Francis Marion. And I was in Myrtle Beach at the time that Elvis passed. Now, you want to talk about huge, man. Anybody that was alive at that time, and, you know, they say, well, you know, seminal moments in your life, you know, these people remember when Kennedy was assassinated. They remember Lee Harvey Oswald getting capped on television. They remember all these different seminal points in history in their life, the man landing on the moon, if they were old enough, that is. I can't think of anything today to compare to it, not even Michael Jackson's death. No, 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 nope, nope, nobody, nope. Nothing bigger than Elvis. His face was plastered all over every newspaper, every TV show, every news program talking about it. There were retrospectives of his lives. Newspapers and magazines had special inserts and collectible additions to their papers. It was massive. And I don't know, I can think of about a half a dozen guys, Bing Crosby definitely being one of them, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Elvis, Yeah, that's about it. Not saying there's not a lot of talented singers and entertainers out there today. There have been hundreds of them, and they have set stages on fire all across the globe. But to have the commanding presence that these cats had, forget about it. Forget about it. So musical breaks tonight are probably going to be more than my regular ones, because this is also going to be a little bit about Elvis too, because to be honest with you, Elvis is bigger than any of these asshats that we're talking about. Even now, he's been dead for 45 years and he's making more money than he did probably when he was alive. That's the American way. Espionage. That's what they say. You remember that? They were talking about espionage. The Espionage Act, like this guy's going to go out and he's going to be giving away secrets to the Russians. Really? Really, really, really? Is that what's going to happen? Well, the Russians already know how to make nuclear weapons. So do the damn Chinese. And the Chinese know how to make them better because the Clinton administration approved the sale of Loral missile technology to the Chinese. Up until that time, they really didn't have the technology to make orbital rockets. Most of their stuff was suborbital, which is still intercontinental ballistic missile stuff. But, yeah, that's what they did. The Clintons said it was okay. That is espionage, ladies and gentlemen. Probably also treason, sedition, and a couple other names that just escape me right now at this point. But it's espionage. What was Trump's espionage? What did he do? What had these cats so worried? Well, like I said, he's an existential threat to them to start out with. Espionage. That's a very Man from U.N.C.L.E., James Bond, Mad Helm kind of word, isn't it? Yeah. Well, if you read all the political chatter from both wings of the Uniparty, and you got to remember, that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. Those are just brands. Okay? Is Dawn different from Ivory Soap? No. They both wash the damn dishes. They both make suds. They'll tell you that they're different in all these subtle, minuscule ways and in other glaring, polarizing ways, but they make suds. They wash the dishes. That's what they do. There's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans in Washington, D.C., guys. Not much. Not much. The rhinos and the Democrats are all pretty much the same. I say it a million times. I'll say it again. Well, I didn't say it. George Wallace said it, and I'm repeating what he says. Six Democrats, six Republicans, Washington, D.C., Republicans and Democrats in a bag and shake it up. Close your eyes and reach in there and grab one out by the scruff of the neck. It's not going to matter because there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them. So Republicans have their things to say. The Democrats have their things to say about the Department of Justice position on the Trump raid at Mar-a-Lago. And something sticks out that some of you might relate to, but others maybe not so much. See, there is an actual mechanism that's being ignored by the members within the professional DC silos and the DC outrage stenographers and all the people in the Beltway media. Excuse me. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. And it's obfuscation, nothing more. But they talk in this article, they outline how Merrick Garland, and I mentioned it earlier, weighed the raid on Mar-a-Lago for several weeks prior to August 8th when it took place. Now, technically, there is this mechanism for executive branch conflict resolution that involves actual transparency, not the talking points of the illusion of transparency. However, when the fourth branch of government was created, and what am I talking about here when we say the fourth branch? The intelligence community, the Department of Justice, the FBI. You thought it was just the judicial, legislative, and executive. No, 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 no. There's this fourth branch that began to take place, was in its embryonic stages in the Obama administration when they first began to weaponize the Department of Justice and then the IRS. And then later the intelligence community fell into step. So when this fourth branch of government was created, the conflict resolution measure that provides oversight and escape from accusations of unequal application of the law is then dispatched. And it was dispatched because, well, the unequal application of the law was in the intent. Hillary Clinton had a homebrew server hooked up in her bathroom closet in her house at Chappaqua. 30,000 emails. Government emails, State Departments, government stuff, stuff that shouldn't be going through a homebrew server at her house, went through there. She communicated with the President of the United States, Barack Obama, on it. The proof is there. 30,000 emails deleted, destroyed, done away with. Blackberries and cell phones destroyed with hammers. Hard drives erased and cleaned with bleach bit. When the FBI went to collect these things and to talk to her about it, her lawyers were given immunity on the spot. She was given immunity on the spot. Trump's lawyers were forced to wait at the edge of the property. They weren't allowed to take part in watching the FBI. So, yeah, the unequal application of the law was obvious. And it was obvious from the moment that Merrick Garland came out and said that the law would be applied impartially, evenly, and without favor. Mother of pearl. What I'm talking about is the legislative branch oversight mechanism, which is known as the Gang of Eight. Whenever the executive branch runs into a conflict that involves national sensitivity with an issue that they define as national security, the executive branch is supposed to use the tool of the legislative branch to extricate themselves from this conflict. So quite simply, the DOJ and the FBI could have briefed the Gang of Eight on the nature of the sensitive national security issue, and this bipartisan briefing to both Democrats and Republicans removes main justice from the appearance of political impropriety. If later on the nature of their investigation is ever questioned, then the Department of Justice has the shield of telling the American public that Congress was notified. And that essentially is the intent of the Gang of Eight construct. Leaders and key officials within both parties are informed of ongoing investigative activity that involves the national security of the United States. That's the mechanism for the DOJ and for the FBI to avoid the appearance of political targeting. Now, March 20th, 2017, we saw for the first time how the newly weaponized Department of Justice and FBI had intentionally and purposefully begun to stop that notification process as part of their intentional effort to politically weaponize the Justice Department. And in that March 2017 hearing, former Director James Comey was asked why the FBI was investigating President Trump for the past 11 months, revolving around a Trump-Russia collusion investigation and not informing Congress about the national security compromise potential. Well, James Comey justified the targeting operation by saying, and I'm using my air fingers quotes here, because of the sensitivity of the matter. And he did so while looking uncomfortable and surprised about the smart question that came from Representative Elise Stefanik. That outlook of unilateral authority without oversight is what lies at the heart of the Russia-Trump collusion and targeting problem. It's that lack of transparency, that failure to follow the required briefing schedule to Congress, which was as subtle as a brick through a window in showcasing the political intent of the FBI and the DOJ under the Obama administration. We're just going to bypass Congress. We're not going to tell them anything about it. When they ask us about it, we're going to say, well, national security, ongoing investigation. The FBI and the Department of Justice, which are parts of the executive branch, cannot operate unilateral political targeting operations and simultaneously permit oversight of them from the legislative branch. That was the core issue outlined within the answer by James Comey. Unfortunately, it was a core issue the entire D.C. system, including Republicans, needed to avoid admitting. And so they pretended the admission by James Comey didn't exist. They brushed it away under a cloud of media-assisted outrage on other matters, and they just moved on. In the current dynamic of the Department of Justice, FBI versus Donald Trump Mar-a-Lago raid, we see an almost identical issue. Not surprisingly, we also see identical action from Justice and the FBI in not briefing Congress about the post-election Trump investigation. It becomes clear the Department of Justice's National Security Division is intent to avoid any transparency that might exist if they were held accountable to following the system checks and balances. Obviously, the mainstream media, the establishment guys, are going to avoid pointing out this issue. And obviously, the right wing of the D.C. Uniparty will avoid mentioning this conflict resolution mechanism even exists. However, their willing blindness on this issue does not negate the fact that this mechanism does indeed exist. If Attorney General Garland and FBI Director Wray wanted to avoid what Wray had previously called even the impression of impropriety, the Department of Justice could have simply briefed Congress on the issues and challenges related to President Trump and their perceived problem with classified documents. The reality of Maine Justice not seeking to avoid their conflict stands as a stark reminder that they consider the mechanism of oversight as a risk to their intent. What is their intent? They don't want to see Donald Trump anywhere near the Oval Office. They don't want to see Donald Trump anywhere near Washington, D.C. They don't even want him as a tourist at the Lincoln Memorial. They don't want him to go to a Nationals ball game. So with the absence of the executive branch briefing the legislative branch as to what was going on at Justice and FBI as concerns Trump and Mar-a-Lago, this targeting is political. It's very much political. This is from the Wall Street Journal, the article I referenced earlier. Mr. Garland now faces a more momentous decision that will further sharpen an already unprecedented and politically fraught situation, whether to pursue charges against Mr. Trump or any of his allies over their handling of the records at issue and their interactions with Justice Department officials seeking to retrieve them. A decision to bring charges in the matter against Trump or any of his allies would thrust the Justice Department deeper into a political environment in which the former president's supporters and Republican lawmakers, not many but a few, are already accusing Mr. Garland and the Department of overreach. Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee sent letters on Monday to Garland and FBI Director Wray seeking documents and communications related to this search. Now, while the department is unlikely to agree to that request while the investigation is ongoing, such scrutiny is only going to intensify if Republicans gain control of Congress in November. Justice Department officials have defended the Mar-a-Lago raid. And if you noticed in the news, nobody's calling it a raid. They call it a search, or they're executing a search warrant. In the beginning, it was a raid, but then it became the execution of a search warrant. It's a raid, okay? It was a raid, just like it was a raid on Paul Manafort, just like it was a raid on Roger Stone. It's a raid. And anybody says anything else, well, it's bullshit. They say that this was a necessary step approved by the Attorney General himself. People familiar with the Justice Department's approach has said a primary goal of the raid was, and anywhere I say raid, the article, the Wall Street Journal is saying search. The primary goal of the raid was to ensure the security of highly sensitive national security documents after the Trump team didn't relinquish them amid concerns that the security of the material at Mar-a-Lago had been put at risk. They were there in June. The FBI was there in June looking at this crap. They weren't denied access. Donald Trump told the people of Mar-a-Lago, do whatever they want, give them whatever they need. The FBI came in. They looked through the boxes. They rolled them around. They said, get a good padlock. This one's not that great. And then in August, they come with a pair of bolt cutters and they cut the damn padlock off. It is a raid, and it was politically motivated. So can you see now that when the media and the FBI and the Department of Justice speak of espionage, they're leading us to believe that Trump is giving away military secrets to the Russians. He's giving away nuclear secrets. He's just, you know, opened it up. He's just, you know, he's told Kim Jong-un. He's told Xi Jinping. He's told Vladimir Putin. He's told all these guys, hey, you guys want to see something? Why don't you guys all come out to Mar-a-Lago this weekend? We'll party. We'll hang around the pool. We'll look at the classified documents. It'll be a ball. We'll have a great time. Ping, I'll make that chocolate cake. You remember that chocolate cake we were eating when you found out that Alice Zawahiri was killed? I'll make that same cake because I know you like that. That was a great cake. Delicious. Beautiful. The most perfect chocolate cake I think we've ever had. What do you say, Phil? That's not happening. That's not what's going to go on here. No, the espionage that Donald Trump is committing is he's screwing up their system. Okay? He's messing up the means that they're using to cultivate and to broaden their base of power and control. That's the espionage. He's not screwing with us. He's not giving away secrets to the Russians or the North Koreans or the Chinese or anybody else. He's screwing with them. He's revealing what they are. He's giving their secrets away. And that's what's freaking them out. Wrong kid got elected president, damn it. And they want to make sure that never, ever, ever happens again. Will they indict Donald Trump? I don't know. You can indict a ham sandwich. Can you get a conviction? I don't know that either. But these guys have found friendly judges. The judge the magistrate that signed off on this search warrant in a previous life was a lawyer that represented Jeffrey Epstein's people in the child molestation cases. Okay? The guy was working for Jeffrey Epstein. Bruce Reinhardt's his name. And in those days, he was a lawyer in Miami, and he represented Epstein's staff, his minions, his lackeys that supplied him with girls. For him to, you know, underage girls for him to rape. His social media is littered with negative statements about Trump. He was an Obama donor, for God's sake. You think there's impartiality here? You think there's objectivity here? It's a lynch party. Lynch mob. Necktie party. It's a necktie party and a lynch mob. That's what's going on here. Nobody like Donald Trump can ever enter the White House again. Never, ever, ever. They don't want that. They can't have it. He has to be destroyed, and he must never be allowed, or those like him, never allowed to rise again. Too much monkey business, if you ask me. And speaking of monkey business, we will be back with more of ACP after some more Elvis.
Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek. So you can buy it, gold, try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde hair, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay phone, something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Way down. just before we go, let's end the evening with a word from the leader of the free world. I'll personally write a check to anybody who can decipher what Joe Biden is trying to convey here.
Yeah, that, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But it is the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that's coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee had been in Afghanistan. You're the one. No, anyway.
Florida, Robert E. Lee. How is that man dressing himself, let alone leading the most powerful nation on earth?
Hey, everybody. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective. Rita Banai there from Australia. And I'll write a check personally if anybody can tell me what she's saying. No, I love the Aussies. I'm going to hit the mute button because I got to cough really bad. Now we're back. The FBI, ladies and gentlemen, the FBI dissolving before our eyes into basically a rogue security service, very much like those in Eastern Europe during the Cold War. It's an astonishing statement. But let's take a look at the facts. Let's look at the FBI's deliberately asymmetrical application law. And this ties in with what we were just talking about earlier. Man, I've got, I'm getting like Michael Cutler. I'm bringing it all back. This ties in with what we were talking about as an uneven application of justice. That's what this is. Last week, the Bureau surprised raided the home of former President Donald Trump. This is an historical first. A massive phalanx of FBI agents swooped into the Trump residence while he wasn't home to confiscate his personal property, his safe, which incidentally was empty, and all his records. All this was over an archival dispute of presidential papers common to many former presidents. The agents swarmed the entire house, including the wardrobe closet of the former First Lady. I'm wondering if they've done an inventory of Melania's drawer. And that's all I'm going to say about. We're less than 90 days out, by the way, from a midterm election. And this was not just a raid. This was, as we have said, a political act. The Democrat Party is anticipated to suffer historic losses. Donald Trump was on the verge of announcing his 2024 presidential candidacy, and in many polls, he remains the Republican frontrunner for the nomination and well ahead of the incumbent President Joe Biden in a putative 2020 rematch. In 2016, then FBI Director James Comey announced that candidate Hillary Clinton was guilty of destroying subpoenaed emails, a likely felony pertaining to her tenure as Secretary of State. And yet he all but pledged that she would not be prosecuted given her status as a presidential candidate. Now, as far as targeting presidential candidates, Trump was impeached in 2020, ostensibly for delaying military aid to Ukraine by asking Ukrainian officials to investigate more fully the clearly corrupt Biden family, given Joe Biden at the time was a likely possible presidential candidate opponent in 2020. The FBI fundamentally has devolved into a personal retrieval service for the incorrigible Biden family. It suppressed, for political purposes, information surrounding Hunter Biden's missing laptop on the eve of the 2020 election. Previously, the FBI never pursued Hunter Biden's fraudulently registered firearm, his mysterious foreign income, his felonious crack cocaine use, or his regular employment of foreign prostitutes. But in a pre-dawn raid just before the 2020 election, the FBI targeted the home of journalist James O'Keefe on grounds that someone passed to him the lost and lurid diary of Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's wayward and apparently really sexually screwed up daughter. Okay, I don't. You may not get it from Google, but Ashley Biden's diary. Google it. Oh God, I don't even. Okay, anyway, at various times, moving on. At various times, in Stasi style, the FBI has publicly shackled Trump economic advisor Pete Navarro, swarmed the offices of Trump's legal counsel Rudy Giuliani, and sent a SWAT team to surround the house of Trump ally Roger Stone. Roger Stone is 67 damn years old. He's about 5'6" and weighs 113 pounds, probably. I have poop bigger than Roger Stone. They have frogmen in the waters behind his house. CNN was tipped off. And all while this is going on, terrorists and drug cartels and human trafficking cartels walk with impunity across an open southern border. FBI Director Chris Wray last week cut short his evasive testimony before Congress. He claimed he had to leave for a critical appointment, only to use his FBI Gulfstream luxury jet to fly to his favorite vacation spot in the Adirondacks. No, I'm not making that up. I'll run it by you again. Be glad to. He claimed he had to leave for a critical appointment, only to use his FBI Gulfstream luxury jet to fly to his favorite vacation spot in the Adirondacks. Christopher Wray was the rear guard action sent to take the place of disgraced interim FBI Director Andrew McCabe. The latter, McCabe that is, admitted lying repeatedly to federal investigators and signed off on a fraudulent FBI FISA application. He faced zero legal consequences. His pension reinstated probably late on the afternoon of Joe Biden's first day in office. Now remember, Andrew McCabe was also the point man in the softball Hillary Clinton email investigation. While his wife was a political candidate in Virginia and the recipient of thousands of dollars from a political action committee that had close ties to who? Yes, the Clinton family. Isn't it funny how all this crap just kind of winds in there together? McCabe took over from disgraced FBI Director James Comey. On 245 occasions, big tall James Comey claimed under oath before the House Intelligence Committee that he had no memory or knowledge of key questions concerning his tenure. And then with impunity, he leaked confidential FBI memos to the media. James Comey took over from Director Robert Mueller. Implausibly, Mueller swore under oath that he had no knowledge either of the Steele dossier or of Fusion GPS, the firm that commissioned Christopher Steele to compile the dossier. But those were the very twin catalysts that prompted his entire special investigation into the Russian collusion. Let me read that again, too.
Okay.
Bob Mueller, former FBI director, Bob Mueller, who worked with Andy McCabe, who worked with Christopher Wray, who probably knew Peter Strzok. Testified under oath that he had no knowledge, he did not know about the Steele dossier or Fusion GPS, the people that commissioned Christopher Steele to produce this dossier. But those were the two twin catalysts that prompted his entire special investigation into the Russian collusion hoax. They spent $1 zillion. He had 4 million people, interviewed everybody in the United States. In some parts of Mexico. And when they come to talk to him about it, well, tell us about the Steele. I don't know about the Steele dossier. Well, when you talk to these people, I don't know anything about GPS. I know I have to keep recalculating the one in my car. He didn't know? Oh, my God. FBI legal counsel Kevin Kleinsmith, convicted of a felony for altering an FBI warrant request to spy on an innocent Carter Page. The FBI, by James Comey's own boasts, bragged about how it caught National Security Advisor designate General Michael Flynn in its Crossfire Hurricane Russian collusion hoax. When he was special counsel, Robert Mueller fired two of his top investigators, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, because they were carrying on and, it didn't look good, especially when people found out about it. He didn't have any choice. So he lets them go. His two top investigators, the two lead people on this investigation, he lets them go, but he staggers their releases in order to throw smoke on their collaborative wrongdoing. Mueller's team deleted critical cell phone evidence under subpoena that might have revealed what we all know to be the systemic FBI-related bias. Where are we at on time? Okay, we're getting on time. The FBI interferes with and warps national elections. And I'm not talking about the Venezuelan national election, people. I'm not talking about the Italian national election, although they probably do. It hires complete frauds as informants who are far worse than their targets. It humiliates or exempts government and elected officials based on their politics. It violates the civil liberties of individual American citizens. The FBI's highest officials now routinely mislead Congress. They have erased or altered court and subpoenaed evidence. They illegally leak confidential material to the media, and they have lied under oath to federal investigators. The agency has become dangerous to Americans and an existential threat to our democracy and our rule of law. The FBI should be dispensing its investigatory responsibilities to other government investigative agencies that have not yet lost the public truth. Do we need an FBI? Do we need one? West Virginia has a state police detachment which has competent and capable detectives. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Every state has a state police force with capable and competent detectives. If it's a federal crime, then the state officers find out which ones are, which ones that could be, rather. Excuse me. I know my mom was an English teacher, and you just heard about Jesus. Anyway, the state detectives, the state law enforcement agencies, can draw up the federal charges and turn them over to federal prosecutors. Try them in federal court. People, this is not Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s FBI. This is not Bill Maxwell's FBI. You remember the greatest American hero, Robert Culp? Okay, it's not his FBI either. It's not Gordon Liddy's FBI. And by the way, if you don't know who G. Gordon Liddy is, George Gordon Battle Liddy, if you don't know who he is, you need to do yourself a favor and get educated. One of the greatest Americans of all time. And tough. There's a book called Will, W-I-L-L, Will. The noun, not the pronoun. It was written by Gordon Liddy. It's his autobiography. And it's fantastic. But anyway, it's not an FBI that we grew up. It's not the FBI of Jimmy Stewart in the FBI story. That's all gone. It's not objective. It's not impartial. It is not balanced. It's biased. It's corrupt. And everyone makes, they want to make these arguments. Well, it's just the seventh and eighth floor. It's the upper management. It's not the rank and file guys. They're not like it. Who the hell do you think are executing these raids? Yeah, rank and file guys. I didn't hear about anybody turning in their badges. I didn't hear about anybody resigning in protest and not cooperating and not doing this. I didn't hear anything about that. Do you know why? because they didn't. Nobody did that. The orders came from down, you know, from upstairs. Fellas, we're going to go raid Trump's Mar-a-Lago. He's not there, but we're going to go get all. You remember all that stuff that we looked at in June that we said was cool? We're going to go get it. So take some bolt cutters, because they probably put a good padlock on there. Take some bolt cutters and cut the padlock off, and let's go get all that crap. Yeah, I know you were just down there in June, and you could have done it then, but we know what we're doing, so just go do it. And they did it. Were there some of the guys that did it and didn't like it? Yeah, probably. And they're probably thinking, man, I got a wife and kids to feed. I got a kid that's getting braces. I got a kid that's getting ready to start barber college or, you know, whatever. But they still did it. So what does that say? That says the agency is corrupt. And people, if the head of the animal is dead and rotten, what do you think is going to spread throughout the body of it? If the head of the FBI is corrupt, and there ain't no question about that, that corruption is systemic. It's embedded. Yeah, it is the rank and file guys. It is the field agents. You know why? Because they're going to do whatever the people in management tell them. They're going to do whatever Director Ray tells them to do. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe that the FBI killed Vicki Weaver at Ruby Ridge. But they did. Lon Horiuchi was the guy's name. He knew she was there. He missed his mark. The bullet went through Vicki Weaver's head as she was on the other side of a door holding her child, her infant child, the day before they shot their teenage son. Over an entrapment charge. They went in guns drawn on Elian Gonzalez. You guys remember little Elian Gonzalez from Cuba? Branch Davidian cult? Yeah, they were Fruit Loops, and they did kill federal agents, but there would probably have been an easier way to get them out of. They could have been starved out. My pacemaker. I'm getting a little jacked up. I'm hitting my warning level. Sorry. Not dead air. The FBI is now operating like the Russian Federal Security Bureau. Like the Stasi, like the SAVAK, like the GV, like the DGI, like the GRU, like the Gestapo. If they can do this to a former president of the United States, if they can do this to an active duty lieutenant general, if they can do this to a social butterfly like Roger Stone, if they can do this to a citizen journalist like James O'Keefe, what, you think they couldn't do it to you? You think they wouldn't do it to you or me or anybody who speaks, you know, in support of Donald Trump or the, and I'm using my air fingers, quote, the MAGA doctrine? Bet your ass they would. They would crush you like an insect. There's no doubt the shows that I'm involved with here on Blog Talk, and we, you know, we got some quality people here. Pete Serafine, the Liberty Lighthouse, coming up tomorrow night. Kevin White and the American Allegiance Program. Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio Live, our brother from another mother, my friend Gary Benford with United Patriots Uprising. He's on all the platforms. Did Diamond and Silk, doing Kevin Sorbo. He's going to be talking to Kevin damn Sorbo, man. He's going to have Hercules on. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Gary, if you're still hanging, I am so proud of you, man. That is just awesome. Diamond and Silk, General Flynn, this guy gets guests. Nobody else can. They want to talk to Gary. And you want to do yourself a favor and tune into his show. That's going to be awesome. But I know they're shadow banning these programs. I know they try to marginalize and suppress us. And while I'm on that, folks, if you are listening and you do like the show, number one, thank you very much. I'm really glad that you do because I really dig hanging out with you and talking about this stuff. And if it's your first-time listener, welcome, by the way. We're happy to have you here with us as well. Tell people. I post it where I can and promote on platforms like Getter and Spreely and all these different things, but tell people, if you like the show, spread the word. I would really, it would mean a lot to me, and I would appreciate it tremendously. It's going to sound corny. It's going to sound stupid. And in a way, I guess, maybe a little overly dramatic, but I'm not really sure about that part. We are the resistance. You can put it down however you want. We're the rebellion. They're the empire. We're the Federation. They're the Klingons. You know, whatever us and them context, the construct you want to lay it out as. But that's what it is. We are the resistance. And we need to be ever mindful of that. And I think that's about all the time we got for this evening. We got a few minutes left, and I'm going to end it with a positive note. If I loaded it up, God, I hope I did. Sometimes I do that. I think I'll download. Oh yeah, man, we need to do something. And then I'll look, and it's like right up to showtime, and I don't know if I loaded it up or not, but we'll find out. I think I did. We're heard live here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you really should be, because it is some of the very best of libertarian and conservative talk radio you're going to find out there, along with the lineup that I mentioned here on Patriot Nation Radio, mojo50.com. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to hang out and talk about this stuff. And as I'm fond of saying, we live in interesting times. And I don't know how much more interesting they're going to get. I don't know if I can take a whole lot of – I don't think I can take a whole lot more interest. I really think I'm it. I'm ready to be disinterested. But – we'll be talking about it again Thursday when I come back, 7 p.m., taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. And hang around. I want you to just – I don't normally – normally I just say goodnight, pal, and hang up, and that's it. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. You guys take good care.
Must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Understanding sometime, strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps
keep shining on everyone. Tell me why. The answer's gonna come somehow.